Welcome to Rich Black Woman, your destination to enlighten your life from the inside out, where we empower you to be rich in mind, body, and bank. Now, here's your host, Yaz.
Welcome to Rich Black Woman, where we empower women to be rich in mind, body, and bank. I'm your host, Yaz, creator and founder of Rich Black Woman, and I'm excited to bring you inspiring guests from around the world who will enrich your life from the inside out. Every week, we talk with change makers who will nourish your soul, your intellect, and enrich your bottom line. Ladies, it's time to bring the bank. And I'm really excited about our next guest, Tanyika Moore. She is a licensed marriage and family therapist, a gratitude coach, corporate workshop facilitator, and a mental health and fine arts expert and writer. Tan earned her BA in theater and her master's in psychology. As a licensed marriage and family therapist, she helps clients address and manage daily challenges and guides them to identify and maximize things that are working well in their lives. Tan is the author of The Cinderella Syndrome, When the Glass Slipper No Longer Fits, which became an instant hit. And she's also introduced the world to Hip Help. Hip Help is a term coined by Tan, and it's a new approach to self-help that delivers information using urban analogies, humor, and other practical approaches. Tan, welcome to the show, and I'm really excited to be speaking with you. I know that you were one of our first guests, actually, on the Rich Black Woman podcast when we started this over a year ago, and I just had such a great time learning from you. And I know that your episode was one of the most listened to. And I think it's because it really hits on a core need that we as women of color need. And that is in the area of self-care. And I know that's a passion of yours that you really bring to life and to light for all women. And I think in particular for us women of color, we have a lot of different challenges that are unique and different, and you really speak to that. So I wanted to bring you back because 2018 has been crazy, and just the political climate, the cultural climate, you know, it feels very uneven. It feels very, something has been afoot, I feel like, for the last almost 2 years, just something kind of in the spirit of the world. And I think people are feeling very stressed, and not that people weren't feeling stressed before, but there's a different level of stress. It feels like we could have some certainty about things, and people are feeling really, I think, kind of overburdened too, and feeling like overtaxed mentally and emotionally every day because there's maybe some kind of bigger drama on the global scale when you're just trying to make it in your own daily life. And that's always got some type of stress anyways. So I wanted to bring you back because you're a woman of much sage wisdom and many valuable tools and resources that you've shared with me and kind of our tribe of Rich Black Women at events that we've had, like Summer of Self-Care that we did a few years ago. And so I felt like we need this, and it's such a great time to bring Tan back and to give us some new enlightenment. So I know as you were reflecting on this, you know, you said, yes, me, let's talk about radical self-care. And I love that because that's what it's going to take because we're living in really uncertain times. So speak to us, Tan. Give us some calm, some soothing. What's new, and share with us, enlighten us.
Well, first of all, thank you for bringing me back. I mean, I was super excited, to hear from you because we had such an amazing time the last time we did this, you know, podcast on self-care, this very kind of important thing that we kind of put at the bottom of our list. So thank you for bringing me back. So excited about that. Now we start talking about radical self-care in careless times. I think, you know, I'd like to kind of start with a quote. There's a quote that I love by Audre Lorde, and she says, caring for myself is not self-indulgence. It is self-preservation. And that is an act of political warfare. And I think the thing that that makes me love this quote is because she breaks it down for you. She tells you what self-care is not, and she tells you what it is.
Right.
And I think so often we get really confused about what self-care is. I think we sometimes think that self-care is equivalent to self-indulgence or being, you know, selfish or putting other people last on your list, but it's none of that. And Audrey spells it out for you. It's not self-indulgence. It is self-preservation. And without self-preservation, then how do we help anyone? How can we be there for anyone if we don't first take care of ourselves? Absolutely. You know, and I think that she, you know, in her wisdom, she kind of broke it down and spelled it out. And then she equated self-preservation to an act of political warfare. Mm-hmm. And as you spoke earlier about the political climate and everything that's going on in the world right now, I mean, where do we start? You know, but I think she wanted to drive the point home that it was going to be war. It was going to be war, a fight, a battle for us to take care of and love ourselves. Yeah. And I think we have to now be ready for that fight and by any means necessary, make sure that it happens.
Wow. By any means. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Taking it to Malcolm X now and self-care.
Yes.
I love it. No, I love it. And I'm so glad you pointed that out. I kind of missed that as you were reflecting on that quote, that it is an act of political warfare. And I think especially for Black women who have always been the caregivers, caretakers of not only just our immediate family, but extended family, the village, you know, and then all of the demands of the world too. And people not realizing that we are humans, that we need to be cared for. We're often not seen as the women to be put on a pedestal and cared for. And so we're really relying just on ourselves. And we have to be an example of that, right?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely. Because, you know, often we forget that people learn how to treat us based on what we teach them. And so if we teach an individual that no matter what, I'm going to put you before me every single time at the expense of my wholeness, my wellness, my peace of mind, then you have now told that individual how they should treat you.
Wow.
And so when we embark on this journey, or when we roll up our sleeves and we get ready to fight this fight, when we go to war, when we say, I'm going to take care of myself no matter what, we are not only doing that, taking care of ourselves, loving ourselves, but we're instructing people. We're telling people, listen, this is how you need to treat me, like I am a whole person, like I am a fully realized human being, not just here for the things that you need,
right,
but also I'm someone who wants to be loved and cared for as well. And I'm going to show you that by the way I care for myself.
Absolutely. And that is radical. It shouldn't seem like it's a really radical thing, but I can think of so many people, myself included, who we haven't done that. And we've allowed people to kind of go beyond those boundaries. And what you're really saying is developing healthy boundaries too in the area of self-care.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Boundaries are huge when we start talking about self-care, because I really think, you know, when people say things like, you know, I just don't know what's going on in my life. I don't know where to start. I don't know how to start. You always start with self.
Mm-hmm.
You always start with self. And that's a boundary that we don't set. We're always looking outside of ourselves for something, you know, whether it's peace of mind or whether it's love, whether it's happiness and whether it's being cared for. And it's like that has to start with you.
Absolutely.
And you have to set that boundary for yourself. You have to put it on your calendar. It has to be on your agenda to care for yourself. And you have to let other folks know, listen, I can't do it at that day and that time because I have an appointment. You don't have to go into what the appointment is. You can just simply say it's an appointment I cannot miss. And then you go do that thing that makes you feel nurtured and cared for on your own, by yourself.
Right. That's good. What are some of the biggest things you see just from the clients that you have that people are doing that actually helps them in the area of self-care?
Well, I tell everybody, you know, self-care, the list is long, and it can be something as simple as a mani-pedi or a massage or a facial, or, you know, making sure you take all your breaks at work.
Yeah.
Make sure you stand up from your desk every 45 minutes so your body has a chance to circulate, exercising and remembering to breathe. All those things are essential parts of self-care. But I think the most important thing to remember here is it's the consistency, you know, like being consistent. What do you do on a regular basis that could be daily, that could be weekly or monthly, but what do you do on a regular basis that makes you feel good about you, or that makes you feel relaxed, or that lets you unplug from the rest of the world, all right, the distractions and all the opinions and all the stuff on CNN and all the stuff. And, you know, it's just like, how do you unplug, and how do you do that in a regular way? It can't be this hit or miss thing. Like, right, if I have time, or if the kids are taken care of, or if the job lets me, or if I can work it in. It's like, no.
Yeah.
Consistently making time for this thing, as I spoke to earlier. And I really find that one of the biggest pitfalls of self-care is kind of that same thing. You know, we don't make it a priority. We're not consistent. We're not at the top of our own list. And I think that that really does lead to so many other issues that we don't even realize.
Yeah.
You know, the core issue for a lot of issues, the core problem is often a lack of self-care and a lack of self-regard.
That's good. And I see myself in that too, because I think one of the things that oftentimes people who are very driven and want to have a certain level of success, or, you know, they're just kind of driven to do things, you can often feel guilty for being idle sometimes, or just resting. You know, there's this maybe a lie that, you know, you bought into, that you always have to be doing something. I know I'm guilty of that, and it's something that I'm working on. And, you know, it made me think of just today, like something that makes me feel good about myself. And you mentioned this, you know, and consistency is I do Zumba, which is really fun. And it helps me to, you know, relax, to de-stress, to breathe, to sweat. It's exercise. And then there's friendship with the people in the class that I see consistently every day when I go. Right. So it's fulfilling kind of those needs of connection with other people, which is how I like to refuel too, with other fun women. And then also taking care of my body. But I know that a lot of times, sometimes I will get so overwhelmed that I, you know, don't go. And then it's almost like a snowball effect. You know, it's like you just totally wipe yourself out instead of taking the time. And it's not a lot of time, you know, whatever that, you know, if it's an hour or whatever, to focus on you and your health. And then you can be better at the things that you're driving towards. Right.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I love that example that you just gave, going to Zumba. Now for you, that's a really important piece of your life, but here's what happens to some of us when we are driven, or when we have a lot on our plate. The first thing we look at as an inconvenience is the thing that we're going to do for us. Mm-hmm. So that 1 hour Zumba class in that 24 hour day, 1 hour for yourself, that has now become the thing that is the most inconvenient thing for you to do. But you will put in 8 hours on a job.
Yeah.
You will do a 2 hour commute. You will be available. You will be available on the phone to that friend who is in need and wants to, you know, talk about what their issue is for an hour or two.
Yeah.
Plus you'll give all the television channels, and, you know, you'll give all of that, all of your time.
Right.
But when it comes time to take 1 hour out of 24 for yourself, think about that.
Yeah,
it becomes too difficult to stop and do that. And we really have to reprogram ourselves and think of ways to increase that number, like in a 24 hour period. How do I maximize my self-care window.
Yeah.
Not just, oh, let me work this in for 20 minutes. Maybe you can work in 2 hours. Maybe you spread it out over the entire day. But really, you are the priority, because nothing that you're doing is going to get done if you're burnt out, wiped out, and you just down and out. Like, none of that stuff gets done.
Yeah, down and out. We don't need that. And how many of us are wasting time, you know, on Facebook or Instagram? And not that I don't like those things. There's a time and a place for them. But when you're looking at, you know, how much time you have in a day and taking care of us, what is that really doing for us, you know, from kind of a physical and mental health standpoint? Physically, you're sitting or you're, you know, scrolling through things. So you're not exercising. You're not getting your heart rate up. And then mentally, sometimes looking at social media can be a harm to your health, mental health, because you're looking at things that sometimes are fantasy, you know, and other people's happy high moments. Go out and create your own. And it starts with you and your own self-care. What's an area that Black women often don't do in the area of self-care? What are we neglecting?
Wow. You know, we are, you know, we're natural nurturers. And I want to talk about this from a historical standpoint for a second.
Yeah.
You know, historically, we've been taught that humility, you know, and putting yourself last is the same thing, you know, or you know, it's like this is just false. You know, it's like, but it's because of that historical foundation, because of what our ancestors endured, because of what we read about in our history books. We really do think that humility or being selfless means that you don't do anything or make any time for yourself. And I think that, going back to Audre Lorde's quote, you know, she talks about it being warfare, because we're fighting tradition, we're fighting external expectations, we're you know, from family and friends, and also that guilt and shame that you referenced earlier. You know, we're kind of fighting all of that just to make time for loving ourselves. But outside of all of that, you know, now that we know where some of these thought patterns come from, I think that one of the biggest things that we really need to think about as Black women is exercise.
Yeah.
We have a tendency, like you talked about Zumba. I mean, kudos to you for having that on your list. Because a lot of women, you know, Black women in our community, you know, let's not talk about the heart disease. Let's not talk about the high blood pressure. Let's not get on the diabetes. Let's not get on the autoimmune.
Yeah.
Because you know why? You know where that starts? That starts with self-care.
Yeah.
You're not eating right. You're not exercising. You're not hydrating properly.
Right.
And so that stuff bears fruit.
Yeah.
It bears the fruit you don't want.
Yeah.
You know, it bears the fruit you don't want. And then once that happens, then you now have to manage a chronic illness. You know, you have to manage medication and doctor's visits. And it could have really been maybe prevented.
Yeah.
By just some self-care, some good old exercise, and 10 minutes a day is better than nothing. You know, ideally, we want to do 30 to 60 minutes of exercise a day, get the heart rate up. But if all you really feel, and I'm going to say feel, if you only feel you have 10 minutes, do 10 minutes, because that's better than nothing.
Yeah.
You know, and I think also we as Black women, we got to have a conversation about therapy. You know, we avoid talking about therapy or talking to someone about our problems, because a lot of times we want to act like we don't get depressed, or we want to act like we don't have anxiety, or we don't get hopeless. But I love Rich Black Woman. I love that title, because rich Black women, smart Black women, right?
Yeah.
Smart people, wealthy people, people we try to emulate on these reality shows and music videos or whatnot, they all have therapists.
Yep.
And if you don't believe me, watch any reality show right now. They all have some segment now where they're showing, you know, the stars of the reality show sitting down and talking to therapists.
Right.
Because what they're really trying to show you is how to better manage your own reality. But we sidestep all of that. We're missing that vital piece of the reality show, and we're going more for the drama. But what they're telling you is the way that they manage day to day is they go talk to people, professionals.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And can you give us, because that is what you do, like, what does that look like? Because some people, they don't know what it looks like, and they may be intimidated or scared. And so what does that look like? I've been to therapy before. I enjoyed it. I felt like it was just really me figuring out things and kind of talking and reflecting back. But that therapist kind of guided me through that, you know? And I really feel like it was a tool actually for me to do some self-care. Now, it was unfortunate that I wasn't doing and resting and kind of thinking about things on my own, but I needed to go and have someone listen to me, you know? So break that down, because I think, you know, we are getting better in the culture, to your point now, like reality shows are showing that a bit more. And I feel like this younger generation of millennials is totally on board with therapy. Like, yeah, like whatever. Isn't that a part? Don't you do that too? You know, but there's kind of this older segment of women and kind of the older Black cultural kind of, you know, you pray about all things. And I believe in prayer and the power of prayer. But let's say you were having, you know, like you had diabetes, you go to your doctor, right? You don't just sit there and, you know, and not attend to it. You don't go get wisdom. So, you know, you've been trained, you've been licensed to do this. There is training that's specific to mental health and wellness that people have been trained in. And so we should not take that for granted that there are people out there in this world who have tools that can help us. And we're not the only ones.
That's right. That's right. And you know, here, I think this is the thing that I want to say as it relates to what therapy looks like. I don't think it looks like TV. You know, you see some things in movies. Yeah. It doesn't always look like it looks in the movies. Like you're not lying on the couch and, you know, you don't have your feet up and you don't go in after a major nervous breakdown or, you know, or you're seeing things. It's not to that extreme. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, I think a lot of times we think, especially in our community, we think I'm not crazy.
Right.
I'm not going to those people. I'm not crazy. Or I've heard people say all therapists are crazy. You know, I mean, I guess it depends on what day you run into me. I don't know, you know, but I think that we've thrown that word crazy around a lot, which has led to stigma. You know, stigma, and people get depressed and they feel like a failure because they feel depressed and they look at their life and they go, but my life is really good. I don't have any reason to be depressed, or God is good.
Right.
I don't have any, I'm too blessed to be stressed. Right. You know, how dare I feel depressed? But guess what? You know, everybody has all kinds of feelings. And sometimes we get overwhelmed. Sometimes we get sad, hopeless, all of us. And it has nothing to do with your level of faith.
Yes.
A lot of this stuff can be chemical. It can be a chemical imbalance. And sometimes you will come to a therapist. Let's say you come into my office and this is what we will first do. We will first identify, the things you're doing well, the things that are working in your life, because I'm a strength-based therapist. I use strength identification to help you, because a lot of times when you feel like things are terrible in life, right, you're focusing only on the negative, but I try to pull you out of that immediately. And I go, listen, number one, you came here. So you're taking care of yourself. You're focusing on your self-care. Number two, you recognize that there's an issue, and you would be surprised at how many people don't realize that things are really bad until they're so bad that they don't know what to do or where to start.
Yeah.
So it's huge. It's a big thing for you to stop and go, you know what? I need to go talk to someone.
Yeah.
And therapy is, to me, I think, magical for one reason. There's nothing, there's no potion that I'm sprinkling on you when you come in. There's not necessarily some, you know, thing that I'm hearing you say and I'm pulling some word from it and I'm, you know, putting it back on you in this profound way. What it is that I'm a trained listener. And when you think about most of the conversations you have, think of, most people don't listen.
Yeah.
Most people don't listen anymore. They listen to you to a certain point and then they cut it off and they start formulating their next answer or they start arguing with you, telling you why you're wrong or they're distracted on Facebook or text or whatever thing, whatever thing that they're into. People don't listen. Yeah. And we need each other. We are built to be pack animals. We need each other. We need connection. And so if nobody listens to you 6 months out the year and you walk into my office and now there's a human being right across from you that has your undivided attention and every single thing you say to me matters. And because you're so close to it, you're having trouble figuring it out. And that's the only thing is you're too close to it and you're too emotional about it. You're too emotionally invested in what that thing is.
Yeah.
Well, I can take a step back and I can go, listen, this is what's working well. And you might benefit from this tool and you might try this and maybe less of that. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times my clients leave after one session and they feel better because someone listened, because someone just listened to them and helped them sort out some of these things in their head that felt overwhelming.
Right.
So that's kind of a picture of what it would look like, you know, in session with me. Many therapists work in different ways. But for me, I believe in taking the goodness as a foundation and looking at the things that feel problematic and, you know, helping you build that tool belt, you know, so you have a tool belt and a toolbox to go to help you manage your own anxiety and your own sadness and the things that feel overwhelming.
Yeah, that is awesome, Jan. I love you gave us a good picture. Like, I felt like I was there with you in a therapy session and no, really. And I love that you broke it down that you start from people's strengths, because I think what some people are fearful of is coming in to a therapist's office and everyone telling them what they've done wrong to screw up their lives. But you're starting from no, you look at the success already and you coming here. That is a major success. That is.
Yes.
And the power of that. And I love, I am a StrengthsFinder kind of person. Like, I've read the StrengthsFinder book and I've done the StrengthsFinder coaching. And it sounds like you're very familiar with that concept. And I love that you have integrated that into your therapy. That is awesome, because that's not what people are expecting often. And I feel like if people knew that, that you're not going to come in and that person isn't going to tell you or confirm or affirm how wrong you've been your whole life, what you're not doing, but they're going to look at what can we do that you're doing well and how we can make your life even better. And I love that you give them, you're giving them tools, which is basically solutions, right? Because I feel like right now, a lot of people are feeling desperate. You know, we've had these two major tragic celebrity suicides recently with Anthony Bourdain and Kate Spade. And there's so many others, right, on a daily basis of important people who have taken their lives and their family and friends are now devastated. And I just think about, you know, what type of space were they in where they felt like that was the only way out? And yet, you know, I always feel like there's always a solution to everything. And it sounds like people coming to you will get that. They'll get that empowerment. They'll get those tools to approach their lives in a different way. That's going to make them, like you said, they leave feeling better in just one session. So that is awesome. You might find me on your couch soon, Tan, myself. No.
Well, you're welcome. You're welcome anytime. And I also want to say to your listeners that I try to make it very convenient for my clients. I do phone sessions. I do offsite sessions. I have an office where I practice, but I also will come to the clients and meet them near their homes, near their offices, because sometimes that becomes the barrier.
Right.
I can't get there. I work too much. It's too far. you know, it's not convenient enough. And so I don't want there to be any reason you can't begin to take better care of yourself. So I try to make myself available in those ways as well.
Oh, I love that. It's like you're a mobile therapist.
Yeah, kind of.
You're like a therapist in an Uber.
I love that.
That's awesome. And we need that today. You're right. Like to be accessible, you know, in any way, because there's so many ways that we can be accessible now, whether it's virtually, whether it's through the phone, in person, or just a neutral place where maybe that person, you know, they don't feel comfortable coming all the way, like you mentioned, you know, to an office someplace. Let's meet on some type of common ground, you know, first to break the ice and then put your toe in the water and then, you know, take those steps forward. I love that. So what are some of the common issues that people come in for?
Oh, I would say feelings of sadness, stress, anxiety, hopelessness or helplessness, family and relationship issues, grief and loss, you know, and issues with adjusting to all of those things that I just mentioned, because adjusting sometimes is the biggest obstacle. When something changes in your life, that can be, you know, immobilizing for some people. You know, it's like not just the loss of a loved one, which is, you know, significant, right? And often can be very difficult to move on beyond that. But, you know, things like losing a job or things like, you know, your kids leaving home or things like, you know, your marriage not working out. Or sometimes it's people get married in that first year, that adjustment of being married and living in the same house with someone, they think, you know, this is horrible. We can't do this. But I tell people all the time that first year of marriage is the hardest year ever.
Yeah.
Because it's the first year where you're together all the time. You're making all the decisions together. You know, your friends are becoming our friends, and some of the, you know, it's all of these things that you're getting rid of. And some of the things that you're bringing in that are new. And then there's a lot of compromise that as a single person, you don't have to do.
Right.
So sometimes that adjustment of being in a new relationship versus, you know, leaving a relationship can be very difficult. So a lot of people come in for a lot of different things, and there's nothing that is too small. I tell all my, like, sometimes my clients will say, I'm just having a really hard time at work dealing with my boss. I feel really overwhelmed and stressed out when I leave work, and I want to know how to not take that home with me so I can be, you know, fully present with my family. And that's okay. Let's talk about that. Let's process that. Let me give you some tools to help you with that, because that can be huge for some people. Where you work is a big part of your life. So, like I said, a lot of different reasons people come in, but I also want to say a lot of these issues are rooted in a lack of self-care.
Yeah.
Because when you stop to be still, you stop to do things for yourself, you can take inventory of the things that are working well and the things that need to be adjusted. Mm-hmm. And when you have all the noise around you and all the distractions, it's harder to connect to the things that you need to work on before they get out of hand. So if we could just go back to that self-care idea again, taking time to be with yourself, taking time to relax and unplug, then sometimes a little bit of stress, instead of it going to full on anxiety attack or anxiety mode, you can reverse that stress and get it to be manageable with just a little self-care.
Yeah, absolutely. And it just takes a little bit, but to your point earlier, but you got to do it consistently. So you don't end up to a point where there's a meltdown, you know, and where you're immobilized. I know that you are doing some exciting things this fall. And I know our listeners are going to be interested in how they can experience more of you. I know we've just gotten a little bit of a taste of the great wisdom and knowledge that you have. Talk about this retreat that you're doing.
So the retreat is going to be happening in October. And what I want to do is I want to say this now. I want to come back and talk about it more. And I'd love for you to keep the listeners posted, but absolutely, it's going to be exciting for a lot of reasons. But the main reason I'm excited is because it's going to be a focus on self-care. Mm-hmm. And it's not just going to be something that we're throwing out there like, hey, self-care, hey, do more self-care. We're going to literally break this thing down so that women know how to implement it, how to fit it into their schedules. And when they leave this retreat, they're going to leave feeling renewed and rejuvenated and all those good things. But they're also going to leave feeling like, I can do this.
Yeah,
I can implement the self-care into my life in really practical ways, because I don't want people to feel like it's something that they got to go, you know, out of their way to do. I mean, right, these are really small things that you can do that make a big, big difference. And this retreat is going to speak to that. We're going to have a lot of fun. We're going to have a lot of important discussions. And I'm really, really excited about it.
Good, good, good. Well, I know we'll keep in contact to make sure that all the folks, our listeners, can get access to, you know, how they register and sign up and where it's going to be, and keep us posted on all those details. So it sounds like you guys are finalizing those, and we'll keep the listeners posted. And how do people reach you if they want to reach out to you for whether it be counseling or any of the great services that you provide?
So I'm going to tell you the best way to contact me. And before I do that, I want to say something. I want to say to everyone who's listening, if there's only one change that I'd like to see everyone maybe make this coming week, this upcoming week, mm-hmm, I'd say this: prioritize so you can minimize. Because it seems like a big thing to add self-care, but if you start to put yourself at the top of the list, you know, every day take 5 minutes, make a list of what's important to you, like a little mini goal sheet, something you can refer to throughout the day and check things off. This kind of leads to an ability to help you minimize, you know, or reduce the things that are extra, you know, like there are some things that are extra in your day that, yeah, you could probably, you know, get rid of, just maybe one or two of those extra things and make more time for yourself. So I would really encourage everyone to prioritize so you can minimize and you can really make yourself a priority. If you want to talk to me more, whether it be about therapy or coming in and speaking to a workshop or to your group or organization, you can go to my website at TanyikaMoreHealingArts.com. That's TanyikaMoore, MOORE, HealingArts with an S.com. And it has all of my contact information there. And you can, you know, reach out to me there or call me directly. Also, you can contact Yasmin and this amazing platform that she set up, which I just thank you again for doing this, for raising this awareness and the way that you're doing it. You can, if you have trouble reaching me for any reason, let Yasmin know, and Yasmin and I will be in contact. So she'll let me know that you're interested.
Yeah, absolutely. And you can email us at hellorichblackwoman@gmail.com. And also you can check us out on our Instagram at Rich Black Woman and Facebook at Rich Black Women. That's at Rich Black Women. And I want to challenge the listeners, you know, Tan spoke about, you know, what's one thing you can do, one change, and prioritizing so you can minimize. And, you know, think about what's one act of self-love and care you can do today. Maybe it's just what she said. And not next week, not tomorrow, but today. In fact, as soon as you finish, you know, listening to this show, implement it. You know, you learn things and then we have to apply them in order for them to stick. And so, mm-hmm, how can you have that act of self-care be a part of your daily ritual? And, you know, something I was just thinking about, because it's a beautiful day outside right now, Tan, and I was just thinking, you know, when's the last time any of us have just gone and sat like under a tree for 15 minutes with no phone, or just looked at nature, you know, or just gone for a walk by ourselves and just listening to what's around us. You know, you spoke about how you're a trained listener. You know, how can we become better listeners of our spirits and our souls and of the world around us so that we can be better listeners to others in our lives? And I think we really have to be intentional about our self-healing and our daily self-care hygiene. It's almost like, you know, just like we take a shower every day, we've got to do this self-care regimen every day and the way that makes us feel good. So this is so needed, such a topic that we really could talk about all the time because we're just not doing a good job at it, you know, and we need to learn from people such as yourself who are doing better at it and who have the tools to empower us to be better at it as well. So I want to encourage everybody to check out this podcast and share it with your friends. You can find us on iTunes, Stitcher, and TuneIn. And don't forget to leave a review. We so appreciate your words of encouragement. And Tan, thank you so much for just the wisdom, dropping pearls of wisdom again. And I can't wait for your fall conference. So we'll be in tune and we'll do another mid kind of summer podcast and see how everybody's doing. Check in on everybody. So I want everybody to take that self-care radically. And remember, it's an act of political warfare, but you were built for this mission and to win. So with that, thank you for listening to the Rich Black Woman podcast. And remember, we live in a world of abundance.